Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Sports Grid Fantasy Football Podcast. My name is Davis Matic. You guys can find me on Twitter at Davis Matic. Always on Tuesday mornings, we have our waiver wire show. This is where I go through tiered recommendations and fab bidding suggestions for the waiver wire. Every week, we have the three tiers. We have the potential difference makers, the borderline starters, and the deep league targets and bench stashes. Gotta say, this is probably not the best week in the history of the waiver wire. The Baltimore Ravens and their COVID news did make it, you know, a little bit more exciting. But in terms of overall difference makers, in terms of guys we are really excited about, I mean, this is just kind of the time of year when everything settles down because, you know, at this point, we're really just relying on injuries to open up, you know, new fantasy starters. Most teams have their roles pretty clearly defined. We have some rookies, you know, like Michael Pittman, like Denzel Mims, who are breaking out. And those guys are, of course, you know, great adds. If Denzel Mims or Michael Pittman is out there on your waiver wire, you definitely need to make sure to be picking them up. But let's go ahead and get into it for this week. Starting off with the potential difference makers. First up, we have Taysom Hill. Last week, we talked about him as a deep add and then as a must add in leagues where you could start him at tight end. I believe Yahoo fixed that last week, but you could start Taysom Hill at tight end on ESPN. So I hope that those of you who played on ESPN, you know, obviously picked him up and started him there. Taysom against the Falcons had the most fantasy points that a New Orleans quarterback has had all season. His throws down the field were far more accurate than I had imagined, and it was kind of jarring to see a New Orleans quarterback be able to throw the ball 60 yards down the field. He ran more in the second half after no designed runs in the first half ended with 10 rushing attempts. If Taysom is going to be a competent passer, you know, 6.57 yards per attempt and record 10 plus rushes per game, I think there's a very clear chance that Hill can be a top 10 fantasy quarterback for the rest of the way. Very similar to Cam Newton, actually, who has not been efficient passing the ball, but has been such a good rusher and been used so often around the goal line that he's able to put up solid fantasy numbers. So if you are in the playoffs and still searching for an answer at quarterback, I do think you need to add Taysom. He can have, you know, that Tim Tebow-esque production over the rest of the season. Our next guy, don't need to spend much time on him, but it is Carlos Hyde. I think that we probably should treat Hyde very similar to how we're going to treat Gus Edwards and Justice Hill, who we're about to talk about, but Hyde played 70% of the Seahawks snaps on Thursday night, rushed 14 times, and was targeted 3 times. That 70% snap share is the most of any Seahawks running back all year, except for that DJ Dallas week when it was only DJ Dallas and Travis Homer active, and Homer had the knee injury. In fact, Chris Carson only topped 58% of the snaps once. It does sound like Carson should be active in week 12, but I'm not convinced that he is going to immediately return to the lead back. Hyde has played very well when he has been out on the field. And there just is something about Carlos Hyde that like really convinces coaches to play him for whatever reason. So I think that if he is out there, you do need to be able to, like, he is a guy you need to add. So now moving on to Gus Edwards and Justice Hill. Mark Ingram and J.K. Dobbins have both tested positive for COVID. They've been ruled out for Thanksgiving. And then, so we got to think about these bids in two ways. The first is if it's just a one game bid. And then the second is what happens if Edwards and Hill are also not able to play in week 12, which by the way, or week 13 rather, which by the way, you know, I do think is possible. We saw Cam Newton have to miss multiple weeks. We have seen Myles Garrett now miss 2 weeks after testing positive for COVID. It's very possible that Edwards and Hill are going to be you know, that these guys are going to be active in starting running backs in week 13 as well. Edwards is the clear guy you want to roster here. You know, he is going to play all of the early downs. He will get whatever goal line touches there are to be dispersed in the Ravens offense for the running back position. So I think he'll probably project for about 12 to 15 PPR points on Thursday against the Steelers. So, you know, clear running back two. However, Justice Hill is going to be the passing down back. Justice Hill has played about a fifth of the snaps as Gus Edwards has in his three-year NFL career and has only one fewer target. He is already used on passing downs sparingly, you know, just a little bit, you know, even with Dobbins, even with Ingram active. So you know, I think that you do want to be playing. I think that you do want to put in some small bids on Justice Hill. Like, I think Edwards, you can pretty much go all in on if you need the running back start in week 12. And then Justice Hill for teams that, you know, maybe don't necessarily need him, but, you know, could use 7 PPR points. You know, just as an emergency, like, I would actually compare him very similar to Nyheim Hines. And, you know, I do think he is a pretty solid bid. Moving now to our borderline starters, we have Jordan Akins and Kiki Cutie. Both Kenny Stills and Randall Cobb suffered injuries in the Texans' wins over the Patriots. Cobb is expected to miss multiple weeks. I don't know about you guys, but I have a bunch of teams that are just absolutely desperate at tight end. And I am going to be bidding pretty aggressively on Jordan Akins in those main event, you know, in those FFPC teams, because he is averaging 10.6 yards per target this season and has a better targets per route run than Darren Fells. I do think that we will see Akins's playing time expand without, you know, a lot of that 11 personnel. And, you know, he just is a better receiving option than Fells is going to be. On the other hand, Kiki Cutie is like a formerly super productive player, both as a rookie and as a college player. He came in, scored a touchdown in this game, played 57% of the snaps, and is easily the best, you know, like-for-like replacement. But it just seems like this coaching staff has always had something against him, right? Bill O'Brien, but then even transitioning over to the new Romeo Crennel coaching staff, it's not like we've seen a ton of him. In fact, this was only his second game active this year. So I definitely prefer Akins to Cutie in tight end premium formats, but in something where, like in leagues where you can start up to 5 wide receivers or something, I would bid on Cutie ahead of Akins, because we also have seen, you know, this Texans team is just hucking the ball, right? Like, they are super aggressively passing the ball in a way that, you know, we really didn't expect, and has been, you know, a big part of, you know, Deshaun Watson being so great since Bill O'Brien left. Moving now to Russell Gage and Christian Blake. With Julio Jones hobbled, the Falcons' passing tree broke out as he played only 35% of the snaps. Russell Gage had 12 targets, 79% of the snaps. Calvin Ridley had 9 targets on 82%. Christian Blake had 4 targets on 60%. Olamide Zaccheaus had 1 target on 21%. And Hayden Hurst had 2 targets on 87%. Gage is a guy who I really want to be adding. The Falcons have a good matchup against the Las Vegas Raiders in a dome in week 12. Blake is maybe the more interesting long-term ad, because I actually could see Blake showing up and performing well if Jones were to just straight up miss this game. Probably you would never feel comfortable starting Blake if Julio was active, but also the Falcons are terrible and they might just be shutting things down. So I think that Gage is probably like a 20% of your remaining fab bid, and then Blake is more like a 5 to 8% target. Our next guy is Damir Bird. Everyone was expecting Jacoby Myers to have a big game. He was chalk on DraftKings and FanDuel. Bird had his first career 100-yard receiving game, played 62% of snaps, but it is worth noting, I think, to me, that this was not Bird's first target explosion game. In the 2 shootout games that the Patriots have played this year against Seattle and the Chiefs, Bird had 9 targets against Seattle and 10 against the Chiefs. So in these shootout style games, I actually think Bird is like kind of like a high upside, let's say wide receiver 4, but you know, I actually do play in a couple leagues where I might start Bird in week 12. Like, I, you know, I play in, I have a 16 team dynasty league. I have a 12 team PPR league where we have 4 flex spots. Like, you're probably not starting him in or even rostering him in 12-team PPR, 16 roster spots. But, you know, Bird is like probably like the deep threat in this offense, and the Patriots' deep threat is not, you know, that interesting of a role, but it is a role that we at least need to talk about. So I'm probably throwing like 2 to 5% bids on Damir Bird this week. Our next spot start running back is Kerryon Johnson. Don't think DeAndre Swift is going to get back from his concussion by Thursday. Kerryon played 70% of the backfield snaps, was targeted 5 times, and rushed 6 times to Adrian Peterson 7 in their horribly embarrassing loss against the Panthers. The Lions play at home to the Texans on Thanksgiving. I think that's going to be, you know, obviously a far friendlier script for Kerryon than it would be for Peterson. assuming that Swift doesn't play, I actually think that if you would start Kerryon, he's like a good 10 to 20% fab bid. I'm not going to talk very much about Frank Gore, who is our next guy. Michael Pirine got injured. He has a high ankle sprain, played only 11 snaps. Frank Gore played 35 of 43, had 15 rushes and 2 targets, and the Jets have now scored 28 and 27 points in back-to-back weeks. Look, it's disgusting. You're going to feel terrible about it, but Frank Gore and Kerryon Johnson, Justice Hill, all these guys are like very similar bids this week. You can put 10%, 15%, 20% on Frank Gore and just know that he's like probably going to get you 7.5 PPR points in week 12, but he could score a touchdown, right? Frank Gore could score a touchdown. It's real. It's out there. Quick reminder before we get to the deep league targets and bench stashes, Jordan Reed, if he is out there, I expect him to rank as a top 12 tight end for the rest of the season. He's one of the 5 best tight ends in the NFL in terms of targets per route run. We know the San Francisco offense is designed to target the tight ends in these obvious passing situations. If Reed is out there in your league, I honestly, like, if he was out there in any of my leagues still, I would bid on him like I planned on starting him at tight end for the rest of the year. And then real quick, our deep league targets and our bench stashes. We have Ty Johnson, who is the third down back for the New York Jets, probably the more valuable role even than Frank Gore with Michael Pirine out. There's definitely a non-zero chance that he builds on his 6 targets on 14 snaps, just an absurd targets per route run number. And look, we all have these running back needy teams who could use a Nyheim Hines type. Ty Johnson is the Nyheim Hines type for the worst team in football. Next up, we have Jalen Hurts, who now needs to be owned in every Superflex league, needs to be picked up in all Dynasty leagues, and honestly, maybe even deep 1QB leagues, because Carson Wentz, going through the worst streak of his career, the Cowboys now lead the NFC East, and they have a way easier schedule than the Eagles the rest of the way. Wentz is averaging 6.2 yards per attempt and 5.2 adjusted yards per attempt. Really, there's no reason for Wentz to still play. If the Eagles lose this week, it is going to be shocking to me if we continue to see Wentz out there. Hurts is, you know, really honestly very similar to Taysom Hill in terms of not being a great thrower, but I do think he will provide excellent rushing upside, so definitely get him rostered. Like, for example, if you play in the Scott Fishbowl and he is out there, I would be adding him right now. Real quick here, Austin Walters, he is probably going to be back on the practice squad for the 49ers unless the health of Raheem Mostert and Tevin Coleman do not progress. Jamichael Hasty and Jeff Wilson Jr. are on the IR. Mostert is on the IR right now but can be recalled. Same for Tevin Coleman. I would put it at maybe like a 6% chance that Austin Walter, like, you know, actually ends up having to be the complement to Jerick McKinnon this week for the 49ers. You know, if it's just Walter and McKinnon, I think you do need to roster Walter. But if Coleman comes back, if Mostert comes back, we can forget about Walter. Then we have Jacob Hollister and Will Disley, with Greg Olsen now placed on the injured reserve with a torn plantar fascia. We have one of Olsen or Disley, I expect, is going to be pretty fantasy viable for the rest of the year now that we're eliminating the Greg Olsen snaps. Disley played 65% of the snaps against the Cardinals, but was targeted only one time. Disley has played way more snaps than Hollister, but Hollister has out-targeted Disley thus far. So maybe like contingent bids on Jordan Reed or on Jordan Akins, you could do like $1 on Hollister and Disley. I think either one of them seems mostly fine. And yeah, that is going to do it for us here on the Waiver Wire show this week. Hope that was useful. Hope that was helpful. Good luck in your bids, my friends.